had an experience recently which really taught me to think about courage in an entirely different way. I used to think of courage as someone doing something very dramatic and extraordinary. But I discovered through this experience that some of the greatest acts of courage are in that instant between stimulus and response in our everyday choices in life. In this particular circumstance, I had made the decision to go to a week-long seminar. I had some clear expectations around what I was going to accomplish, and I was particularly excited because I was going to be able to accomplish some quadrant two goals I really wanted to work on between and after the seminar sessions. Well, the very first day of the seminar, I was asked to coordinate some activities for the seminar participants during the event. I had a moment of real challenge because I had certain expectations and I really wanted to accomplish these quadrant two goals, but I also felt at the deepest level that to contribute to the success of other people who were also attending the conference was in harmony with my deepest values and principles. I thought about it, and the more I thought about it, the more I realized that it was something that I really wanted to do. But I was also feeling pretty frustrated because I knew that my experience would be very different than what I had anticipated and planned. So I accepted the responsibility. I went about trying to accomplish the things that needed to be done, but I found myself under a lot of pressure and I was anxious. I was running from one thing to another, trying to meet everybody's needs and feeling more than a little bit frustrated that I didn't have the time to do the things I'd planned to do. In the midst of these negative feelings, I remember one particular moment when I just stopped. I literally stopped and I said, wait a minute, I don't have to live with this frustration. I've made a decision, I made the choice to do what I really felt I ought to do, but that doesn't mean that I have to go through all this anxiety and tension. I can choose differently. So I took a deep breath and I decided that I would choose my own response to this situation. I kept saying, I choose differently. I choose differently. And as I said those words, I could just feel all the negative anxiety and frustration leave. And in their place, I felt a quiet determination to face my challenges with courage, to do what I could about the things I felt I ought to do something about and just let go of the rest. Now, this was not a one-time decision. I had to revisit it several times during the week as I began to feel the pressures and the anxiety creeping back. It was so easy to get sucked up into it. But I just stopped each time and I said, I choose differently. And the more I said those words, the more I felt that inside, the more empowered I felt. Now, some people might think it's a little presumptuous to call these little acts courage. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that it really does take courage to do what we feel we ought to do in a moment of choice and to let go of all the reasons, all the rationalizations, all the justifications, all the if-only thinking that threatens to overpower the peace of that decision. Now, I know as I look back that if I had refused that assignment, I would not have felt comfortable. I would have felt duplicitous all week. It would have been against what I deeply valued and the principles that I respected and reverenced in my own life. But as it turned out, this week-long seminar was much more satisfying and much more powerful and renewing than I had ever thought it would be. It's one thing to do the right thing, but it's an entirely different thing to do the right thing and to feel peaceful and happy about it. Not to be a martyr, not to feel controlled by other people or circumstances, but to really consciously feel peace in the choices that we make. I think evaluation is another one of those things that really lends to peace in our lives. When we stop and take the time to really think about our living, to evaluate our experience and to understand what we've been through, to look really closely at the choices that we've made during the week, and to understand more about why we made the choices that we made and what the consequence of those choices has been, then it teaches us, it helps us to be more honest in our hearts and in our minds with ourselves. It teaches us to be more observant. I love the words of one unknown writer. He said, "Be observant if you would have a pure heart, for something is born to you in consequence of every action." This evaluation gives us a time to look at the consequences of our choices. C.S. Lewis said, "What I like about experience is that it is such an honest thing. You may have deceived yourself, but experience is not trying to deceive you. The universe rings true wherever you fairly test it." Now, this living and learning cycle that we're talking about is in the spirit of Kaizen. This is the Japanese word for the spirit of continuous improvement. It's also following Seneca's advice, as long as you live, keep learning how to live. Peter Senge in the fifth discipline says this, real learning gets to the heart of what it means to be human. Through learning, we recreate ourselves. Through learning, we become able to do something we never were able to do. Through learning, we extend our capacity to create, to be part of the generative process of life. There is within each of us a deep hunger for this type of learning. This is why it's so important that evaluation is the final step, the last step in the Quadrant 2 organizing process, to create that space between stimulus and response where we can evaluate, where we can look at our lives and really pay attention to what's happening. On usually one morning a week, early in the morning, I try to get up before the rest of the family and spend some time looking over the past week and evaluating how well I've done with regard to those Quadrant 2 goals. And it's helpful for me because I'm a little bit more left brain and sequential to kind of give a quantitative analysis to this process. So I look at my goals and I say, all right, I set a Quadrant 2 goal in my first role, which is personal leadership and development, to exercise, to take a walk every morning this week. How well did I do? And I rate myself from 1 to 10. Now, Wednesday morning, perhaps I missed that walk. And I look at it and I think, well, why? Was I just being flaky? Was I lazy? Did I just lose the battle with the mattress that day? Or was it because Tuesday night, one of our children was awake during the night, and I was up a lot with that child, and I determined that it was a better choice to get a little extra rest that morning than to walk, because I felt that I could fulfill my roles more effectively on Wednesday if I had a little more rest. It's good to look back and to see why we make the choices that we made. And oftentimes we find out we were just being flaky, or we let other things get in the way of accomplishing our important goals. Sometimes we just gave in to a feeling of a moment or an impulse, rather than sticking to the things that we determined at the first of the week were really important. But at other times, there are things that happen during the week. Circumstances change. There are human needs to be met that really are more in harmony with our values and our principles and our mission than what we had planned to do. And to be able to just take that time and look back and evaluate what choices we made, why we made them, and what the consequences of those choices were, adds tremendously to our ability to understand and to live more effectively and more peacefully. I know there have been weeks when I've gone through this quantitative analysis and found out that I got 44 out of 100 points. But I felt good about it because I accomplished some of the Quadrant 2 goals that I had set. And as I lived through the week, some other things happened that genuinely were more important and were more in harmony with my mission. And at that point, I made the decision to change. And looking back, often I felt good about those choices. I think this principle is important on every level. It's so important on a daily basis, too. This is one reason why we suggest keeping a personal journal, because at the end of each day, it's good to create that space between stimulus and response and just look back. How did I handle the challenges of the day? What choices did I make? What were the consequences? It's also good on a weekly basis, as we've talked about, to make that evaluation. And this improves our ability then to go into the next week with even greater perspective. I've also found it's very, very helpful on an even larger scale perspective. I've been keeping a journal for some time. I don't do it every day, but most days, and that's been very helpful to me. But at one point in my life, I remember feeling just a deep need to have some real personal renewal time. I was feeling confused about some issues in my life and needing to make some decisions concerning direction. I had my mission statement, but somehow I just needed to reevaluate that, to relook at it, and to relook at some of the issues in my life. So Roger arranged to be home with the children for a few days, and I went alone to an inn where I spent hours reading through these personal journals. Now, this was really an enlightening experience. I was able to go back and to relive many moments with an increased perspective that gave me a deeper understanding. But the most helpful insight came as I was able to see repeating patterns in my life that it was impossible for me to see from day to day. Now, at this point, I was not in the practice of evaluating on a weekly basis, and so perhaps that would have helped along the way, but I had gotten a little bit lost, and I was able, in looking back through my journal, to see that I really was facing some of the same challenges week after week. And as I looked at this and as I looked at the pattern, I was able to find some personal direction that I really needed. I was able to go home refreshed and much more connected to what was really important in my life. This personal evaluation is important, I've found, on a regular basis. And renewal time is a vital part of learning from living. It's a time to review mission statements, to think about important relationships in life, to set context goals in each role. And Roger and I have found as well that doing this as a couple provides the same sense of renewal in our marriage. When we take the time to be together alone on a regular basis and to review our shared mission statement, to set goals as marriage partners and as parents, it really improves the quality of our lives and our relationship and our family.